Good morning, church. For those of you who are visiting, my name is Dion. Serve as preaching minister here, also in the leadership team as one of the shepherds. Happy to have you. So glad that everyone is here. I apologize for the lost hour of sleep, but I am grateful for the extra hour of light and sunshine gained by it. For the next 7 weeks, we will be going on a journey. We're going to use a portion of the Gospel of Luke as our tour guide. We will consider during this journey what it means to fix our eyes or to fix our gaze on Jesus or to look intently on Jesus or set our faces toward Jesus. We are in the season of Lent. Lent is a 40-day journey of self-examination, repentance, and renewal. It is a time to remember Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness, a period of fasting and prayer and preparation. And for centuries, I'm talking from early second century, Christians have stepped away from distractions to draw closer to God during this season. So starting last Wednesday, which was Ash Wednesday, now we don't have an Ash Wednesday service, some other faith traditions do that. Starting on that Wednesday, all the way through Easter, we're invited to fast for 40 days. It's 40 days if you count every day, excluding Sundays. We don't fast on Sunday. That's a time for us to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. But for 40 days, from Monday through Saturday, we're invited to introduce a life-giving practice, exercise, generosity, and prayer, as well as abstaining from something, food, vice, media, whatever you choose. For our journey this year, I have compiled some journals, if you would like to take advantage of that. So you're abstaining from something, but you're also introducing a life-giving practice. And one of those practices might just be a daily time with God. And so these journals includes a scripture from the Gospel of Luke for every day of the fast, a little small devotional, some prompts for prayer and reflection, and some space for journaling. There are two sizes, so if you like the smaller size, you're welcome to take that, or if you like a bigger full size, you're welcome to take one of those. Those are on the back, the communion table in the back. So as you're leaving, you want to take advantage of that. Please take one. If you know someone who might benefit from using this journal, feel free to take as many as you wish to distribute to your friends and family. Now, it's up to you whether you want to participate or not. This is not a get closer to heaven practice if you choose to do it, or get far away from heaven if you choose not to do it. This is totally your choice to do. It's an invitation to participate in a spiritual practice that may do us some good. I share with the class this morning, teen class this morning. I don't often share what I'm fasting from. I believe that's between you and God. And oftentimes when we share what we're fasting from, it's a way for us to boast that's not the idea behind fasting. I do share this probably more of a confession and asking for prayers. But one of the things I'm fasting from, several things, but one of the things that I'm fasting from this season of Lent is the snooze button. You all laugh, but you don't understand that the snooze button is a problem for Dion Frazier. I will not embarrass my life or my wife and family by telling you the records that I have set with the snooze button. But it's unhealthy. And so for the season of Lent, I am giving up pressing the snooze button. Listen, y'all, I'm so good with the snooze button that I have an alarm clock still that sits on my left side. I'm so good with the snooze button. When the alarm goes off without opening my eyes, I know exactly where to reach and where to touch the snooze button. And one, am I making this up? My wife knows. She's shaking her head in disgust right now. But all I'm saying is that there may be some things that over the next 40 days, use this time to get healthy, to get spiritually healthy, to get physically healthy, to get mentally healthy. In the meantime, on Sundays, I want us to read and meditate on an intriguing portion of the Gospel of Luke, leading all the way up to Easter Sunday, where we will break the fast. Luke chapter 9 and verse number 51, to show that scripture. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he, speaking of Jesus, set his face to go to Jerusalem. He set his face to go to Jerusalem. Now, this short text sets the stage for a collection of narratives that are commonly called the travel narratives. In the Gospel of Luke, starting at chapter 9, verse number 51, there are going to be a series of stories and narratives that are included in the Gospel of Luke that you won't find in the Gospel of Mark, which up until this point, Luke and Mark are almost exactly alike, but he diverges and focuses on some stories as Jesus begins a journey to Jerusalem. And they're called the travel narratives. And along the way, Jesus meets people and he teaches and he heals. But he is on his way to Jerusalem. He set his face to Jerusalem. And this travel narrative seems to come to a pinnacle or even a, not so much a conclusion, but in Luke chapter 19, verse number 28, it says, after he had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. I believe the ladies' class, you're doing a Bema podcast, and he talks a lot about chiastic structures in Scripture. Many believe that this is a chiasm. What's a chiasm? It's sort of a pattern. And so if you think of, like, it starts off with, like, the letter A, and then there's a section that you would label the letter B, and then there's another B, and then a letter A. That's a chiastic structure. It's like poetry. It's a way to write things. And many believe that Luke chapter 9, verse number 51 is the beginning of the chiasm, and Luke chapter 19, verse 28 is the end of the chiasm. So it goes A, B, B, A, something like that. So those of you in the ladies' class, you're like, oh, yeah, I get that. Yeah. Chiasm. It might be that, might not be that. But there's something to this idea that in between 951 and 1928, we are going to read stories of Jesus who set his face towards Jerusalem. We're going to unpack that today and then unpack that and understand what it means for his journey. And prayerfully, we will contemplate our own journey. Before we begin diving in, let's pray. Gracious and loving God, as we begin this journey together, we come with open hearts seeking you. In this sacred season of Lent, we remember how Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem, how he walked with purpose, with courage, and with unwavering love. Lord, as we step into these weeks of reflection and renewal, help us to set our faces toward you. Clear away the distractions that pull us in every direction. And fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. For those of us who are weary, give us strength. For those of us who are hesitant, give us courage. For those of us who feel lost, remind us that you are always leading the way. Holy Spirit, stir within us a desire to follow you wholeheartedly as we walk this journey together. May we be transformed by your presence, shaped by your word, and renewed in our faith. We surrender this time to you. May this journey begin and may it lead us closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Back in the mid-90s in Buffalo, New York, where I grew up, Linwood Church of Christ, I met a member of the Buffalo Bills. His name was Lonnie Johnson. Lonnie Johnson was a member of the Church of Christ in Florida, and when he was drafted by the Bills, he went to Florida State, drafted by the Buffalo Bills in the second round, 1994 draft. And he started attending church at the Linwood Church of Christ. And in time, he became like a regular member and friends with several of us, my brother and we call him LJ, really close. My brother and his wife and Lonnie and his wife Yashonda became very close friends. We're still friends to this day. But as a Buffalo Bill and as we grew closer with him, game on Sunday, and when it was a home game, Lonnie would come to church that evening. He was faithful church member, and even on game day, he would take a shower and drive all the way from Orchard Park to Buffalo to come to church. And if he had a good game, we told him about the good game he had. And if he had a so-so game, we probably stayed a little bit silent. We may have offered a little bit of critique. Lonnie Johnson is a huge human being. And so if you're going to critique him, you better be ready for that smoke if he doesn't like what you're going to say. And there's some plays. I remember when he scored his first touchdown and he came to church, man, we just celebrated him. There is one play, though, in all the years that he played that just sticks out in my mind. And I happened to find it on YouTube. It's a little grainy, but I want to share this play with you because it's awesome for many reasons. Maybe not the reasons you think, but let's watch the clip of the Buffalo Bills playing Green Bay Packers. Green Bay was really good this year. We weren't as good, but we're setting up to punt the ball, and we're going to execute a fake punt. So I need y'all to watch this play. All right. Executed brilliantly. That is Lonnie Johnson who caught the ball. All right. Now, Lonnie Johnson he's like 6'4", 6'5", just all muscles. I mean, I'm probably built way better, but he's very fast and he catches this pass. Now, as you're looking at this still frame, what do you notice about this picture? Where is he looking? Where is he looking? He caught the ball. It looks like all open field. Why is he looking backwards? Okay, I'm going to play the rest of the video. You probably know what's going to happen. Okay, let's play the video again. Spoiler alert, it's not good. Okay. He just got the wind knocked out of him. He's absolutely destroying Lonnie Johnson, who is still down on the turf. Lonnie Johnson knew where 10 guys were on that punt return team for the Green Bay Packers, and he didn't take into consideration the defense. If you missed it, we're going to watch it in slow motion in just a second.
And that was a receiver, a runner at his most unprotected you'll ever see. Completely unaware of the contact. Flag down, and it came in late. We'll sort it out. Maybe we can, if we take another look, Lonnie Johnson up to a sitting position. Well, watch what Moore does when he gets the ball to Lonnie Johnson. But more importantly, watch Lonnie Johnson as he runs down the field. Unprotected, not looking, not expecting, losing track of Sharper. Sharper with a very good, clean hit right on the football.
Listen, y'all, will y'all promise me, if Lonnie and Yashonda ever visit this church, Please don't tell him I showed y'all that video. We gave him a little bit of grief for that. And it doesn't take, you don't have to be a football coach, you don't have to be an expert in football to see that the problem there was that he didn't keep his eyes forward. He looked to the side, he looked back. He thought, oh man, let me look back to see if anyone can catch me. He totally forgot that the person who was receiving the punt was Darren Sharper, who, by the way, is one of the hardest hitting safeties to ever play the game of football. But because he didn't set his face forward, he got destroyed. The title of the video is Lonnie Johnson Nearly Decapitated on a Fake Punt. It was an excellent fake punt. It worked to perfection. The punter faked the punt and threw a perfect pass to Lonnie Johnson. He caught the ball and began running. He's big. He's fast. But he took his eyes off of facing forward. And as you can imagine, we gave Lonnie some grief over that. He's fine. He wasn't injured. He's got the wind knocked out of him. But it's a cautionary tale that in life, we have to keep faced forward, go forward. And again, let me remind you, please don't tell him I showed you that video. This is what makes Luke chapter 9, verse number 51 so impactful for me. Jesus has already been through so much in life. He's been on this earth nearly 33 years. He's coming to the end of his life. And here he is having traveled all over the region. He's been preaching and he's been teaching about the kingdom of God. He's been demonstrating the love of God with all people. He's spent time mentoring disciples, both men and women. His following grew by leaps and bounds. Enough for him to say, you know what, I'm going to stay longer than I expected. I'll stay here a little bit longer. He could have looked back at all he did and admired all the accomplishments and admired all the growth and the rise in popularity. But despite all of that, he kept it behind him and he set his face to Jerusalem. Now, this textual highlight is not so much a geographical indicator as much as it is a description of resolve and intention. Jesus came to earth to do something. He did not come here to stay here. As a part of God's plan, he would be taken up. This is similar to other gigantic figures in the story of God. Not too long ago in the story in the Gospel of Luke, we see Jesus is on this mountain with his disciples. And he's what we call transfigured. His appearance was changed. And when he was changed, there were two other men that appeared with him, Moses and Elijah, two great figures in the Jewish story. Moses died on a mountain, and some regard that as a time when Moses was taken up. Elijah didn't even see death. God took him. He ascended to God on chariots of fire. And now is the moment for Jesus. It is his turn to be lifted up. But Jesus' lifting will have far greater implications and a far greater benefit to humans than Elijah and Moses. You see, Jesus being lifted up will benefit humans who have a sin problem, who have a rebellion problem, who have an identity problem, who have relationship problems, who have physical problems, who have spiritual problems, who have mental problems. Jesus was sent here, as the song says, he came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Because Jesus had you and me in mind, he set his face toward Jerusalem. He was determined to finish what God set in motion for him. He was undeterred and resolute, and he didn't look back. It didn't mean that there weren't obstacles in his way. Listen to the report after Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem, Luke chapter 9, verse number 52. And he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he, Jesus, turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. Now, later in this series, we will return to the animosity between the Jews and the Samaritans. But for now, let's acknowledge that Jesus, on his way to Jerusalem, and because he was on his way to Jerusalem, he was going to face opposition, disapproval, hostility, and even resentment. Yet knowing all of this was coming, this is from the Message translation, when it came close to the time for his ascension, he gathered up his courage and steeled himself for the journey to Jerusalem. Again, this isn't as much a geographical statement as it is a statement of intention. His heart, his desire, his intention, his resolve was Jerusalem to be lifted up. His journey would not be limited to obstacles, though. And even though Jerusalem was the destination where the culmination of Jesus's mission would take place, there were transformational moments along the way during these travel narratives. These are the travel narratives that I spoke of in this section in Luke chapter 9, 51 to Luke 19, 28. We will see Jesus healing people and teaching people and challenging people and inviting people. And in the same way, our journey is marked by a resolve to set our faces on a goal, encountering obstacles along the way as we participate in healing and teaching and challenging and inviting. Luke 9:51 is a turning point in the life of Jesus, and today can be a turning point in ours. Some of us have been waiting, hesitating, saying, "I'll follow when life settles down." But guess what? Life just doesn't settle down, does it? The best time to follow Jesus is now. Right now. Where is Jesus asking you to take a step? Where is he asking you to step forward today? Setting your face toward him. For some of us, maybe it's our faith. To stop just believing in Jesus and actually start following him and putting into action what we believe. For some of us, maybe it's our relationships. Maybe it's forgiving and loving and putting others first. For some of us, maybe it's habits, like pressing a snooze button, to let go of something that is holding us back. For some of us, it might be all three: faith, relationships, habits. The season of Lent is about setting our faces toward Jesus, and it's about saying, no matter what, I'm going to follow him. No matter the obstacles, I'm not going to turn aside or turn to the back. I'm going to keep my face forward and look toward Jesus. The journey starts today. And so the simple question for us today, and perhaps this is a season where we can ask this question and probe this question and meditate on this question, is that Jesus invites us to follow. Will we choose to say, "Yes, I'll follow"? And as we journey through these travel narratives, there will be some teaching and some promptings that we ought to pay attention to as we look at the cost of discipleship. So look at the Good Samaritan story and what it means to journey with others that don't look like us. What it looks like to go through a season of recovery with, with Jesus? What does it look like to follow Jesus? Will we say, yes, I'll follow? Will we say, yes, I'll do what you say? I'll do what you do. Will we choose to say yes? We're on a journey, and we're seeking to set our face toward Jesus in all that we do. Let's pray. Lord, today we set our faces toward you. Give us the courage to follow even when it's hard. Help us to trust that you are leading us to something greater. May we walk with you step by step every single day. In Jesus' name, we are setting our faces toward you. Amen. At this time, we'll sing an invitation song. If you need prayer, if you need help setting your face toward Jesus, you need strength, encouragement, you need community. As we're singing this song, we invite you to come forward and share your need with the body so we can pray for that. If there's any other way that we can serve you today, come as we stand and let's sing this song about setting our faces to Jesus.